like,
unreal.
It doesn't matter, dude. Like, he is the kind of man that would burn down a fucking building on principle without regard or care for anything. Oh, fuck, we're on the radio.
We're not talking about Bane. What show is this?
Welcome to the Gentleman Radio. Wait, that's what it is, right? Okay.
Yes. Yes. I mean, holy crap. Jeff isn't here for one time, and we get it right immediately, first try.
Do we fire Jeff?
Hold on, guys.
Yeah.
My ears are fucked up a little bit. Did that happen correctly for the first
time?
It did.
Okay. I've been telling you guys, we get rid of Jeff, somebody competent in here, and it'll be right.
Yeah, who? Wait, hold on. I guess we should say you got it right. This is kind of historic. Are we doing?
Should we introduce ourselves?
Yeah.
Okay, so who are you?
I'm Josh. Who are you?
I'm Jeff.
You're not Jeff. Jesus Christ.
Oh, wait, that's right.
I'm fucking
you. God damn it. Is it contagious? Is that what's going on? Is it contagious?
Jeffitis, man.
Well, hold on. The person who announced for the first time ever the proper name of the show, why don't you introduce us?
Who are you?
I'm Susan.
Oh, right.
Hey!
You guys remember Susan, right?
Susan's back.
A triumphant return.
I am.
Susan.
Crowd favorite.
Oh,
back by popular demand. We actually got a comment on how happy one of our listeners was that we had you on, because she wanted gender support, I guess. But, you know, she thought you were awesome. So.
We're also awesome. Incredibly boring.
Yeah. I think really it's
which is why it's good you're doing a radio show.
Ryan
I think it's just
right
as much
now.
An insult to us as it is a compliment to you. So, you know.
So we're all level playing field here.
Because
it's
I think that we're all pretty terrible. Except, well, I'm not, but you guys. So.
It's because you've written like two
what
movies.
What is happening right now?
And books. And stuff.
But back by popular demand, we definitely have Susan. She's actually stepping in as Gentlewoman Susan tonight in place of Gentleman Jeff, who's out for cardiac arrest and probably death. But we'll check in on that later. We don't really know.
We just kind of hate Jeff, so he's not.
I took his gentleman hat from him earlier. This top hat is in my closet. I mean, I'm not sure I'll give it back yet.
Do you remember when I punched him in the cock and you took his hat?
I took his hat. That's all I recall.
You
work out the cock details later.
Did he keep his dapper mustache?
No. No, we ripped that right off him. Because those come off. Josh doesn't have his anymore because we tore his off when we fired him.
I'm growing my hat back.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
So what are we talking? Does anybody... What is today?
Well, that's your job.
That's my job. Fuck. Yeah. That's my job. So we'll talk about hardware.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about the Xbox 720 is when you turn around again and you're back again and again and again. Oh,
but
and
you spin twice and face forward and then pay $800 and then...
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself
Xbox.
Around.
And then it's Bill Gates' face like, hey,
I'll still do that.
I'd be okay with it. Also, we're going to talk about like Valve. Those folks are kind of like, fuck it, we're making hardware.
Oh, right.
Also, Steam TV.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
We're going to talk about like RIP Wii. RIP Wii, man, come on. Pour some of that beer out. The end of the Wii. We can't make any more Wii jokes.
The Wii U is coming out.
Can't be like, I'm playing with my Wii U.
Yes, you can. That sounds hilarious, actually.
It sounds hilarious,
I think it's better
but it
now,
just doesn't have the same connotation. And like, hey, man, put that Wii down.
I don't know. It's fair game. If they didn't alter the name enough to get out of the Wii game.
And is that
seriously,
fair?
Like,
you know,
that's a whole other show to talk about the Wii.
That is poor form by Nintendo.
In general.
That's like, call it something different.
You're not going to call it a Wii U. Nobody is. You don't call it an Xbox 360 every time you talk about it. It's just that.
That's a
Xbox.
Good point.
I usually
that's
call it a 360 one. Myself.
What are we going to call it, though?
You're just being an elitist over there.
Are we going to call it a woo?
Wow.
Yeah. I guess we'll figure that out later on the show.
It'd be more like a woo.
Yeah.
Like when Bender was off.
See, right. Shouldn't the next Wii be the woo instead? Wouldn't that be better? That'd be more
something.
Fun to say. Be more fun to say.
How about the
if
next
you're going to go with goddamn nonsense, you might as well go with something fun to say.
I mean, we went from like N64 to GameCube to Wii to woo.
I'm good with the next Wii being a scrapped concept, and then they just go to making handhelds.
I'm
back
all about
to formula.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. Back to formula?
Back to the
Marty! Marty!
And our last thing is we're going to talk about that new Fancy Pants thing. PlayStation Network Plus.
Making people pay for what they already don't use.
They get it for free. You fools!
What a
I'm not saying that we're Xbox
it.
Fanboys. but we're Xbox.
You mad, bros?
I'm not an Xbox fanboy, but I'm definitely a trend fanboy. Wherever the fucking people go and the games go, I will follow.
Well, and
dude,
I think,
I'm sorry, like, Xbox...
We're sort of jumping topics ahead.
No, we are. Right, because we're coming full
scratch
circle.
Scratch track.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're coming full circle here. Let's get the Xbox circle jerkle. Circle jerkle.
All right.
For everybody.
That's actually Nintendo's new console, jerkle. The circle jerkle.
I mean, it's kind of like doing a cartwheel. Yeah.
I would buy that as a gift for all of my male friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're like...
And you know what? You would awkwardly...
can never stop.
You would totally awkwardly come in someday and they'd all be playing with it and just stop and look at you. And then hang your heads in shame.
I'll be in the next room.
You guys are fags.
The key to that is just to go with it and look really hungry and not stop. I could so eat right now and just keep going. Oh, wait.
What? The hell are you talking about, Josh?
That is an entirely different conversation. You know, we forgot one key thing right now.
What's that?
The Gentleman Radio is brought to you by thebuzzmedia.com.
That's true.
Every week.
Yeah, every week, thebuzzmedia.com, and we're going to give a blanket spoiler warning for anything we talk about right now.
And can we also mention Susan's blog, too?
No. Razorbladesandwich.com.
We'd like to add more excitement to both of those things. First of all, we're brought to you by thebuzzmedia.com. Mm-hmm. We have blanket spoiler alert every single week. I so hate Jeff and miss him at the same time. Susan, step it up. Yeah. And the wonderful Susan does Razorblade Sandwich, not sandwich, and you need to check this blog out. RazorbladeSamage.com for fantastic thoughts and really insight on rage sputter on a lot of things. But no, great video game topics. I mean, real insight as an actual gamer, especially a female gamer. It's so, really a blog to read.
Before we get into our actual topics, I want to ask you about this now. So you're dealing with a lot of BioWare fans now? Is that what you're...
No.
Is it they're coming
over,
or you're talking about that?
I make some particular factions of some particular parts of the BioWare fandom upset sometimes.
So which like factions are we talking about here?
Just recently I posted a thing about... In Mass Effect 3 there is a section where you can visit a character who was a romance interest in Mass Effect 2, Thane.
Who are we talking about? Just drop names.
Name drop.
So when you have that, if you romance him, you can have like an awkward...
Say the name, woman!
When you visit Thane in the hospital where he is dying, you can have an awkward finger bang against, or, you know, in the hospital lobby moment.
Holy shit. I didn't know
it's
about
just
that at all.
Awkward. What? Like, it doesn't look like... It's awkward. You guys have to watch the video.
A finger bang with
That's
Thane?
What it looks like. Wow. Because it's like you proposition him, and he's like, "I'm down," but then you don't go anywhere. There's just like kiss.
Is it kind of like The Godfather when he's
kind
like,
of uncomfortable?
I know you.
Is it the kiss where like you know like you don't see camera below the waist, and he like raises his jaw?
And this is what's in the hospital lobby. Is that what's going on
in the hospital lobby in front of this like picture window? It's
meanwhile the people at the counter are like. That's not appropriate.
Nobody wants to see this.
Metagel upgrade.
Can somebody just buy this? Just stop it, please.
I'm going to spread Metagel all over the place to disinfect.
Yeah, they're like, Metagel.
But there were people, and that's pretty much all you get. Then, you know, later on he dies, and you get a lot of conversation with him. You don't get to talk about why he didn't choose to have any kind of treatment for his illness. And... So there was a lot of there's always fan unhappiness, but there was a lot
In the BioWare camp.
So we could say that like Thane is like the easy E of Mass Effect.
kinda. Although I think his death in Mass Effect 3 was pretty epic. I loved that whole scene.
He definitely went out pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I agree, but there were a lot of people who felt like it was not, you know, they had problems with exactly how it happened, and that there were people who felt that it was ableist. That it was discriminatory against handicapped people.
Wait, how so?
People? How is that? Because, I mean, he kicked a lot of ass before
he died.
He
was, like, the most capable mofo in Mass Effect 2.
It was brilliant. It was like, look, he's on the verge of death, and he just kicked Kylan's ass.
And on top of that, he would seem encouraging.
He's like, hey, I'm going to die, but I'm going to fuck you up.
I mean, because we can all agree Shepard would have been fucking toast at that point had they not interceded, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that was
pretty amazing. Hold on.
Yeah, we're getting off topic.
And two, we already knew he had a condition. He even said, oh, this is my little mission, so just follow along, Shepard. Disappear as two people walk by. I'm a ghost. Yeah. And then he just fucking handles it and is a good dad at the same time.
Right.
And then in three, when he says, I'm dying and I'm peaceful, he steps up even though he knows he's dying and peaceful and takes one for the team.
Plus,
like
a really
motherfucking ninja.
Like a gentleman.
A noble, gentlemanly effort.
We should all be so lucky as to go down that way.
So, what do these people have to argue about his situation?
Because, first of all, if you romance him, in the romance scene at the end of Mass Effect 2, he says that he is not okay with dying, that he's scared and he does not want to. Mm-hmm. And then he's cool with it again. Because if you romance him, that is all you get. It's only slightly better than the really ridiculous scene that you get with Jacob. If you romance him, which I didn't.
Oh my god! But the prize.
I kind of want to know what happens if you romance Jacob, and I kind of don't want to know.
No,
you don't. You don't. I've got some insight since Susan and I talk outside the program.
My female got with Garrus because.
Oh man, I'm telling you, the Jacob situation is a nightmare.
Don't bring the fuck out of my Shepherd. I can tell you that.
Hilarious.
Knuckle bump.
Listen, we're all geek fans and whatever, but Susan is a prize to so many things that we have no clue about, and Mass Effect.
No, this is like a totally
and
different
I promise you, she scares me with the shit that I hear from FemShep playthroughs that I feel so awkward for not knowing and then so intimidated for knowing. It's scary. Del, what you say in your FemShep voice, what Jacob sex up, then the key phrase, just say it.
But the prize?
But no, say it. Don't just whisper it.
My voice is all cracky right now.
Do it.
But the prize.
But the prize.
Is that what it
is? So dark.
It's awful. Yeah.
This is risky. I know it's against regulations.
Oh, it's heavy risk.
But the prize.
It's
I feel creeped out now. I really feel
right?
Like
did you?
I feel like that was
that?
A rape just now. Honestly, like I feel like
greasy Jacob.
No,
like,
I'm gonna have to do some counseling now.
Right, and he leans. He does like the douche lean against the wall, and he's like. Look at this. Sneaking into the captain's quarters.
Went very risky.
he's in the middle of stealing something. Oh, I mean.
What? Heavy risk, but the prize.
Right!
The sexual harassment Shepherd that you deal with if you're playing.
Sexual harassment Shepherd.
With
sexual
him,
harassment.
Just
Shepherd.
Just continues. It just gets worse.
Oh, I feel like Sean Connery. But the
it's
prize.
Like, you expect there to be a porn soundtrack in the back, and I feel bad because I know when they were writing it, they must have been like, this is awesome.
We gotta sell this character under the fucking
somewhere
bus.
In a writer's room, they're like, nailed it.
This guy. Exactly. Wait, we got this athletic black guy who's a biotic. He's very capable, a very good military student with daddy issues. He's obviously got to be a douche. Let's fuck him up.
No,
there's got to be like a director's cut or something somewhere where there's like totally like the 70s porn music in there.
Oh,
or it's like after he's done, it's like, Dynamite!
And there are so many jokes. There's like that somebody photoshopped like some McDonald's fries, and then it says heavy risk.
But the fries.
Watch the
right,
video.
So you guys are just experiencing. Susan's been telling me about this for
that's
months.
That's why if you look at my dog,
2 weeks ago, but you were like, he got the fries.
This wasn't my thing to tell. This is a woman-only thing, and let's.
No, this would. It would not have been as good. If
I'll clarify. Like it would have been funny if you said it, but it would have been awkward.
I wouldn't have explained it to you because I wouldn't have deserved credit.
Yeah, because you explained it to me and be like, no, that guy's on meth.
Because Susan, I mean, we've been friends for a long time now, and when you told me, but the prize is a joke, I was like, if I had a cricket soundtrack right now, I'd play it in my fucking face. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just said it.
And when you told me, I had the, like, cold shivers. And now I'm curious, like, what the else does she know? What else is going on Mass Effect that I've never experienced?
Mass Effect 2, my takeaway, Jacob, little rapey.
Little rapey.
Yeah. I don't think so. He's not rapey. He's like
I feel raped right now.
But the press.
He's like the little penis that couldn't.
He's
like, I'm not man enough for her.
No, shut up for a second. The problem with Jacob and with romancing Jacob in Mass Effect 2 or playing a FemShep and talking to him at all is that female Shepherd cannot talk to Jacob without sounding like she's sexually harassing him.
Oh.
She, okay, every time you
she's
talk
the aggressor.
Her, she and it's creepy. It's
if
uncomfortable.
Your dialogue choice is like, can you take your shirt off? You're like, what?
It's uncomfortable. Like, even when you think I'm picking the bro option, I just want him to be like, my bro, yeah. Like Garrus Point Two. Yeah. But it's not like that. Like, even just it'll say like, I just thought we could talk, and then she'll say, I thought we could just talk for a while.
Yeah, you're like, no,
what? No, stop. That's not my shepherd. So it got to the point where.
So all right. So on this point. And I consider your opinions very valid, even when I disagree with them for craziness. But, and that's rare, but you have an inside track. You talk to some insiders, names excluded, but you kind of have it, you know, some inside thoughts from the actual creators of the game.
Not as much as you might think, but go on.
But, you know, on a
Are
limited
you
basis.
That
but some of them.
Has the prize.
No, but do you ever, like, give them shit about that in that direction? Like,
no, it's
you know
not...
what? I felt that this time the woman was rapey.
When
it was gross, and I don't want that.
I hadn't met a lot of the really cool people in the fandom and around the fandom that I have now. So at the time, it was not
rapey.
Well, no, it was totally, it's always been rapey. But yeah. When I had experienced that and when it was relevant, I didn't really have anyone to make fun
You're
of.
You're like, I'm just horny and I'll just shelf this for the night.
So the
I'll think
from
about
this
later.
The takeaway from this diversion is Mass Effect 3, rapey.
No, Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2, rapey. Mass Effect 3,
and
pulls
then in
back
Mass
on
Effect,
the rapey.
No, it's awesome, Mass Effect 3, because it's really uncomfortable and it just gets worse. Yeah.
Can we, like, really quick, since we're off target for this, like, just...
Sorry.
Go, no.
No, this is my fault, because I asked you.
Patrick, look what you fucking done.
Hey, you know what? It's worth it. Because this is gold, so
can
whatever.
Can I open up a can of Leviathans right now?
Oh!
Wait, no, because I haven't had a chance to play.
You're too late. I'm sorry.
There is so much.
No, I did that today. I refuse to play games with other friends.
I've had it downloaded. I've been really busy. I haven't had a chance to.
I've been really busy.
Patrick.
Spoiler
earmuffs.
Alert has already earmuffs. Been said.
Yeah,
well,
we threw that.
Not for me. I'm putting my
Patrick,
yeah.
You are banished to the obelisk of silence.
Okay. Can I just tell you what happens with Jacob, though? Because it's awesome.
Yeah, yes. Earmuffs off.
Earmuffs off. Well, you know it's time.
Then we're talking Jacob.
Jacob.
All
right. Mass Effect 3. If you romance him in Mass Effect 2, it does not matter. Because when you meet him in Mass Effect 3, he's like, hey, this is my girl. We're having a baby. And you're like, but Jacob. And he's like, I thought I'd never see you again. But it gets better. Because if you are playing a renegade shepherd, she gets rapey.
What?
She does. She's like.
Even as a dude, he's like, hey, I'm having a baby.
Shut the front door.
Just give me a kiss, Jacob. And he's like, what? No.
Back
up.
Damn, bitch.
And she's like, just one kiss. Nobody needs to know. It's awful. It's so painful to watch. But it was awesome. And like the three people that actually romanced Jacob were not necessarily pleased about it. But it was hilarious. But
you know, after that shit with his dad, you think you just fucking leave him alone.
Right?
And they're like, oh, you had to kill your father? I'm gonna rape you. And he's like...
The whole thing is really uncomfortable. And I don't think they did it on purpose. But it's really uncomfortable.
They did it
On purpose, yes. But the thing with Thane was that there are a lot of people who felt really betrayed that he did not have more screen time, that if you romance him, you did not get a better, just more interaction with him.
But that's common cross.
I was
going to
say, I think that's a kind of a common complaint about the game
Mass
in general.
The Mass Effect 2 players, the characters that you grew to love from what I consider, by the way, probably the best sequel to any video game ever.
Well, what I thought was funny about that is that
Miranda.
When I played like Resident Evil, Jesus Christ, I've seen the trailer over here.
We're looking at that.
So when I was playing Mass Effect 2, I heard a lot of people bitch about like not having enough of the Mass Effect 1 characters, and then all of a sudden, you know, when Mass Effect 3 rolled around, it's like, where are the two characters? I was like, Jesus Christ, you people can't be pleased. What the hell?
Well, and it was like, I love the snippets of everybody.
Yeah,
and
no, I honestly...
Great. Because you're like, hey, there's this awesome sci-fi universe. Here's a quick glimpse.
You can say what you will about the ending or whatever. There's all valid opinions about it. But I think that texturally through the game, 3 was awesome, just the way that it handled those characters. I really didn't feel all that shortchanged. And I was really upset that Morden didn't make it, but... How fucking epic was that? I mean, I actually cried.
First of all,
had to be me.
We need to start alerting at like a higher level spoiler alert, like tears alert.
Can we just
say Morden?
I'm about to ball up.
I'm saying
can
not.
Can we just say one thing really quick?
For like 2 months, I could not hear seashells.
This episode is actually Mass Effect 3.
Would have loved a steady seashell.
Like, just Mass Effect in general. Oh, this is a Mass Effect episode. And...
Yeah. But anyway, for 3, and we're going to have to ask Patrick to leave the room on this one, because this poor bastard has not played the DLC, even though it's been out for a while now.
I have a lot of shit going on.
Really?
Priorities, man.
Really?
A lot of shit going on.
Weeks on time. He is a busy man. An author, which, by the way, we need to inform the media.
You're writing a book, aren't you?
It's been written for a long time.
I wrote a book.
It's coming out on October 16th. We'll have my co-author on here.
We'll plug that shit after you're done leaving the room after we talk about this DLC.
We'll plug it more than I plug a toilet on a Sunday.
Here's the problem, is how am I going to know when to come back in?
Classy.
I know.
Well, that's what we call a YP.
Yeah. All right, so yeah. Hold on a second. Just a little bit of housekeeping here, which we're going to do on the air. So are we just going to say like, Mass Effect episode?
Mass Effect episode.
We'll pick up these topics next time. Yeah, we'll have Susan back on.
Are you serious? We're so ready to talk about this.
No, dude.
We will wait.
Can I just ask producer Dan for the amount of time we've been talking about Mass Effect?
Cigarette out.
Well,
this guy's got a problem.
I'm sorry. I hijacked things.
That was like my fault. It's totally my fault.
And I'm glad because I really love talking about Mass Effect.
Me too. And I don't know how exciting it is for listeners.
I have so much to say about Leviathan.
But, you fucking suck, though, because I can't take part. I
promise if anyone's still listening, they are jacked about Mass Effect.
I bought that shit, and I just haven't had a chance to play it yet.
It's okay.
I spent four hours today playing through that.
We will judge
I was at work, so...
We'll judge you harshly about it. But at this point, let's...
And can I tell you, I have a friend that's very skittish about DLC, rightfully so, and that's a whole different topic we can talk about for hours on end.
Well, because it's...
DLC is worthy and how they deliver to us and the bullshit involved. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's a ripoff. But this particular Leviathan DLC for Mass Effect 3, solid payoff, worth the price, uber geekwood, definitely kicks in, whether it's uber geek femwood or geek manwood.
I liked it.
It rocks. It is phenomenal.
It is well worth.
So it delivers a prize, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Frankly, Aramoff.
Finkel, Einhorn's yeah. Finkel. Oh my god.
So,
blew my mind.
Gonna do
so
this,
Leviathan is the prize. This is sounding very sexual.
I think it's going to be about 10 minutes, to be honest with you. It's a 4.5 hour.
I came here late. You guys, we've been talking about this the whole time.
You did. You came here late. But, you had a good reason.
We were saving it.
I was saving that bacon.
It is a well. Let's put this without spoiling anything for gentleman Patrick, who was preoccupied with Jack in the Box.
It was Burger King.
The Burger King box.
It smelled amazing.
Hey, by the way, producer Dan.
How would you compare it? I would say, in general. Maybe I'm wrong on this. You can also shoot this down. The overall best received, best loved, most loved DLC for any Mass Effect 1, 2, or 3 is Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Yes.
Yes. And
can we all agree on that?
Yes, but to me this was...
Hold on there, Steppy Mr.
Steppy McStepperson.
Steppy Philippi.
Stepper McTalkover.
By the way, gentlemen, Charlie's got this brand new haircut. He's rocking a brand new Ryan Philippi, and it's amazing.
I had another man
shave. I can barely look at this guy without thinking, like,
can I just
he should have been
on
Shepard.
Air, I had another man shave my beard, and it was uncomfortable.
Isn't that weird? For LA Underground, which is coming out on September 22nd.
2 weeks ago?
And it would be 2 weeks ago. If we were doing this,
this one will be next week.
Let's
plug the shit out of that. You can recommend that.
Well,
later
you know what?
Tonight.
You know what I found out tonight that I did not know because Peter hasn't told me shit.
That it was the Bookmans on Grant.
No, you should have known that because you're promoting it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So anyway, no, the movie is not just playing on September 22nd. It's going to be playing for several weekends after that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we actually have a theatrical run.
Can I really quick say in the NPR voice?
Only if you whisper right into the mic.
Well, I mean,
can we do it later?
You guys look like you're about to make out.
I feel
totally
so comfortable
in
this position.
Honestly, I think that's going to happen before the end of the night.
So Lair of the Shadow Broker
for that.
Okay. is the number one DLC for all Mass Effects in my mind.
It's probably the highest rated.
Highest rated, most successful. I would consider... the Leviathan DLC to be a shade less than that.
Ah!
Barely. Because so, the Legend of the Shadow Broker, in my mind, was absolutely top notch.
How do you guys feel about Arrival, though? How do you guys feel about that?
Hold on, back up. Where's that back scratch track? I need the old 80s DJ. Like the record scratch sound.
Look, I just don't have Clint Kidd play here.
No, the Leviathan DLC, phenomenal. That's not a haiku. It's not enough syllables, but it should be.
You've changed
it's fucking
things.
Great.
Arrival?
Totally
blew my mind. Totally the end of Arrival. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, see, and that's what I'm saying.
What's happening?
No, this is totally like, oh shit, what's going on here? I'm like, blah, blah.
No, okay, blah, so go ahead. Give me, all right, 2 minute pause. 1 minute, Susan. 1 minute, Patrick. Give us the Arrival beefs. 1 minute each. Go. And if you need less time, pass it to your partner.
I didn't have beef, so I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty cool, and I was pretty fucking shocked at the way that it ended. So, just the fact that like there's really nothing you could do for a positive outcome, and you know either, I mean, I tried as hard as I could to do something good, but didn't pan out. And
it
so
was foreshadowing is what that was,
right? You know, and honestly, it reminded me kind of a turn from like Dragon Age, where it's like you didn't necessarily know what the right way to go was. It's like you could. There wasn't necessarily like the black and white, the good and the
Susan
bad.
Called it foreshadowing. And I think in literary terms it may be correct, but I think it was more foreskinish. And I mean this literally, because when you're getting fucked, when there's no positive outcome, you know the foreskin's the first thing to get in there. And you know what's coming after that.
That's a terrible
analogy.
Really
it's accurate
it,
though, right?
Yeah, you're
because you're getting fucked. There's no positive outcome. The dick is getting in there. Whether you want it to or not.
Well, this is taking a turn. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this.
But
anymore.
What you guys like about the Arrival is the revelation of what's going to come, right? Like,
well, what I was saying about foreshadowing was that because just like kind of how Mass Effect 3 ends, and there's really no, even after the EC, there's really no happy ending. There's no like Shepard lives, goes off, and has little Turian babies somewhere. There's no, so that's what I mean. I mean, the Arrival kind of foreshadowed what was going to happen at the end of Mass Effect 3, not that.
Good stories rarely end with a super happy ending.
I kind of suspected that it would be
like
that.
The best stories are always terrible at the ending.
So would you guys rate the Arrival DLC? And for those people that listen that don't know what DLC means, it's downloadable
content.
Look,
if you're this deep into a Mass Effect episode, you know what DLC means, all right? I mean, anybody else that doesn't has turned this shit off a long time ago.
And Patrick just saved you from a severe berating. I mean, you really just got
a severe.
Sorry.
Take the Bane mask off, Charlie.
No one cared about who I said before I put on the mask.
I'm waiting for Scottsdale, Arizona to open up a Bane recovery center because this shit is getting serious.
Scottsdale must be more severe.
See, it's spreading.
God, it's contagious.
Oh, but
next thing you know, dudes are going to walk around with their hands over their crotch like a Bane mask, like, I'd like to date you. And this is going to be bad.
And you're welcome.
You've tried that, haven't you?
So,
no, man.
Yeah. I can
especially
tell.
If somebody says it themselves.
I've given up on sex
mistake.
Appeal. Yeah. It's not going to happen for me, so I'm cool.
So, could we earmuffs for Patrick?
He's all sad. Look how sad you're making him. He's like, I just want.
We're at 28 minutes, so.
You're not off the hook here.
We're going to have to.
We have to talk about this.
So, let's go to recommendations.
Yeah, it's going to work this time. I tried last time.
Gentleman Jeff's not here, so we forego the recommendation.
So, earmuffs, buddy, unless you want to hear all of it.
Motherfucker, but how am I going to. I can't. The earmuffs aren't going to fucking work. I'm going to hear everything if I have earmuffs on.
Okay, frankly, they're basically like alien space gods like Cthulhu. You're welcome.
Dude! Oh, that was
you mad, bro.
But tacos also have cheese on them, so deal with that revelation as well.
I'm gonna punch Charlie in the dick.
It's okay. I'm willing to take it
for
because
those listening, the environment in this room has suddenly gone icy cold and rather hostile.
No.
Considering the air conditioning is not on, it's amazing.
It's perfect for the DLC because I'm always in a cold and dark place.
Oh, you guys.
Dude, like the second. Okay.
I have no part of the spoiler-ishness.
And I'm sorry, my friend.
Patrick, gentlemen, Patrick, J-Pose, Just there he goes.
The first time you saw
he's
probably Reaper.
Got his fingers in his ears. Let me tell you.
The first time you saw sorry Reaper, for him right now.
Daniel's it was like a giant like alien squid.
Hold on. For those of us without our fingers in our ears, can we look at each other for a second?
Sure.
He has tears in his eyes.
How amazing was the revelation that it wasn't just some rogue Reaper?
It was
the actual original alpha race that the Reapers were created from.
The ones that the EC said got reaped against
correctly. Yeah.
It was they were fucked amazing. Over.
And then when it came into the atmosphere, and he's like, and they're like, we'll take it. I'm like,
and by the way, big props for BioWare's writers for not only giving us the extended cut when. Whether or not we deserved it or not, or whether or not they felt they needed to or not, thank you for giving it to us. And then on top of that, using that as canon in the extended, in expansions.
You know what? It made me wonder if maybe they had this DLC planned before the end of the game came out. And so they were like, this stuff's, you know, they're going to find out. It's not that big a deal. And then
well,
that's
Susan,
why...
we all know that there were files downloaded in the extended cut that applied to the Leviathan. That was hacked and released online. So when the extended cut came out and, you know...
I ignored all that shit and I was super...
Those files were in there. There were right. Leviathan references. It was already...
Like well, the thing is,
well, that's
like,
how people knew it was called Leviathan
right.
before it was
if
announced.
If you know anything about biblical
but
literature, Leviathan...
to BioWare.
Is like a old school like Hebrew thing like many voices are one.
No, it's the old gods. It's the Greek gods. It's ocean. It's...
Exactly, and you're surprised that there's some kind of giant alien squid god. Oh, thank you, God.
Get the Bane mask off your fucking mouth.
It's a Zoidberg. This is Zoidberg.
All right. Finger squigglies are all Bane. But the cool thing is. I mean, you have an aquatic shepherd. You have not only what you obviously assume.
I do so much right now.
What you obviously
like,
assume
is
going to be
reaction.
A rogue reaper. I mean, they lead you into it. They sell you on it. Great job by the writers that you're tracking down a rogue reaper that killed another reaper.
This thing killed a reaper.
Right, but they give you lots of hints about indoctrination and everything that leads you to being a reaper, except that. It's the original alpha race that led to the Reapers.
Caused this entire mess.
That started the cycles, millions of years old. It blew my mind. It was amazing. And for me, minor shades below Layer of the Shadow Broker.
Really? The thing that made me, like, flail, like, make high-pitched squeaking noises and flail, was in the very first Mass Effect, I was religiously reading all the codices. And I read the one about the Leviathan of Dis.
By the
so
way,
this...
great job on the use of plural codex.
Oh, well, thank you. And I was just... See, I got so excited. I was
mind
like,
equals blown, right?
It's
that old school reference of the shit you read and you're like...
No matter how much...
Like, right.
No matter how much you think it through, ultimately when they own all revelations. They own anything new and exciting they want to give you, whether it's new in the story or old in the story. They own it. BioWare, hats off for blowing my mind yet again. That was fantastic.
Can I put on
and if you
glasses?
Get Twitter hate,
hey, that's
fuck
great,
all those
it's
haters.
Like
that was amazing.
In, so.
Can I put on hipster glasses for a second? The first time you see
hold
a Reaper.
Hold up. All right, there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, the first time you see a Reaper, I'm like, that came from like an organic species because that's like Cthulhu.
Oh, crustacean.
And that's like the giant alien squid god.
Well, this you
that,
have
that
to,
an atheist dreamed up as like his nightmare.
You have to cater to this. You're good now, J-Pos. Patrick, gentleman Patrick's back on
and
grumpy.
Angry. He looks.
Can we refer to him as Patrick right now?
J-Pos. But the first time you see a Reaper, by the way, you don't know what the fuck he is. It's just a ship flying away.
No, it doesn't matter. You see those tentacles. The second you see the thing coming out of that,
right.
It's a fucking squid god.
And here's the warning so we should give all gentlemen listeners.
I was so happy. Because I was
this
like.
Face over here, though.
Oh, yeah, that face. That is the face of, like, realizing that everything you thought was wrong about the universe. And H.P. Lovecraft was right.
That's not a
and
face.
Everything will end in fire.
No.
To cry.
Fire, madness.
That's not
madness.
A face for radio. That's a face for an insta meme right now. We need to fucking.
I feel like it should be like. So how's Snow White doing?
And It's like he just threw away his bottom teeth and just like jawed it up in angry mode.
Let's wrap it up because we could talk about Leviathan forever. But all I'll say is like that just validation for the Lovecraftian mythos.
For those who are freaks about Cthulhu.
Would you say that Leviathan was the prize?
Susan strikes home.
Damn.
But, oh my god, all I can think about is...
for me, that was the prize.
I wake
because
up...
because I wanted that, like, that validation, and yes.
Two years under the knife, I wake up, and homeboy's like, check out my abs, but the prize...
Yeah, I guess I would. I mean, if this will pay off in the end, all right, you can rape me.
When Miranda asked me if I can exit the station, it'd just be like, just blow this fucker up, I'm staying home.
When you have confirmed that my suspicions are correct.
Bait mask is a no-no, Charlie. It's a no-no.
It's a no-no. Recommendations.
Jesus.
Recommendations. Oh, God. Do we have anything to recommend?
Of all the bad things of Dark Knight Rises, this is the worst.
No, the worst... we can get
the Banefection?
The Banefection. Thank you. That's the word.
Make up for it. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
That's the movement. Susan, we're all done.
Recommendations, Josh?
Oh, yeah, I think... I have a recommendation, I do. Okay. I didn't really consider it ahead of time, but thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Bane Charlie, stop doing the Bane mouth. If you do Bane voice, don't do Bane with the fingers over your mouth. But my recommendation for this week is Lost Girl. It's a sci-fi show. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Charlie to say, my recommendation is a crotch in my mouth. No, Lost Girl.
It would actually be like this. I mean,
you emote fantastically. I love it.
Thank you.
There's a woman who's been on the run her entire life, and she figures out anyone she sleeps with dies. She doesn't know why, and she's scared and terrified. She eventually runs into people of like kind, and she finds out there's an entire world of supernatural beings called the Fae. There's two factions. There's the Light Fae. There's the Dark Fae. And obviously, apparently, I guess, not obviously, to her.
Obviously, apparently.
When you're brand new to this game, you have to choose a side. Typically, they recognize you from birth like Padawans.
Yeah.
But this girl was kind of lost in the shuffle. And she ultimately decides, fuck you, I'm not taking a side. And instead, she becomes like this little detective that solves crimes without... having to worry about the political bullshit of stepping on toes for dark or light fae. So she helps humans, helps fae, can operate in both worlds. It just wrapped up season 2, I think like a week or two ago, and both are available on DVD right now. It's a sci-fi show, and it's fantastic. And some of sci-fi shows are cheesy, some are good, some are cheesy and good, but I think this one ultimately delivers on overall story arc. It gives you a reason to keep watching week after week to see what the ultimate big bad would do, much like Buffy used to do when Joss Whedon was helming a TV show that wasn't canceled by retarded Fox. So,
meanwhile,
watch...
It was eventually. They just went to another network.
Watch Lost Girl. Charlie, it's your turn, Squid Mouth.
I gotta recommend something.
No, you don't have to.
I'll recommend The Mountains of Madness by H.P. Lovecraft. If you've never read it, very short, funny novel about madness and death and fire and going to the Arctic and why you should explore new things. It was like Star Trek before Star Trek would be Star Trek. And don't fuck with the universe. Fucking squid gods that will kill you! And that's, be careful.
All
right. I'm going to recommend a book called Deathless by Catherine Valente. It's a book that's beautifully written, actually, about a woman who is taken to be the bride of the Tsar of Death. Tsar of Life. She goes to marry the Tsar of Life, and he's at war with the Tsar of Death, and it's just like, it's their story, it's their love story. It's got a lot of violence. It's got a lot of sex. It's got a lot of sexual violence.
No rapey, though, right?
No rapey. But
is there a prize?
Kink. It gets.
But the prize.
It's. But it's beautifully written, enough that being set during in socialist Russia, which is not a time period or setting that I'm particularly attracted to, more like A Nest of Mosquitoes, like I generally go the other way.
Socialist Russia is like 20s, maybe?
It's kind of sex club,
There's fairies and ghosts in this book, so I wasn't paying too much attention to...
Political correctness.
Right, I wasn't like...
It's like when Rasputin was cool in Russia.
So what's the title one more time?
Deathless.
Deathless.
That sounds good. What do you got, J-Pose?
I recommend that Charlie run very fast away from me. That's my recommendation for the week.
I ran. Ran so far.
I think we can do an outtake with Charlie on a treadmill and playing Flock of Seagulls.
Actually, my recommendation for the week is Cinematic Titanic. If anybody ever watched Mystery Science Theater 3000 back in the day.
High fives, cheers.
One of my favorite shows of all time. And Cinematic Titanic is basically like a return to form by the original cast of MST3K. Mm-hmm. So it's got Joel Hodgson, Trace Ballou, Mary Jo Peel, J. Elvis Weinstein, and TV's Frank Conniff. And
crew.
They're doing basically the same kind of movies that MST3K would do.
And I love that they preserve that like old school feel.
The riff track
is good, but I like the recommendation.
Well, and the thing is, like, at first they kind of started off some of their early DVDs that they were doing, and this is a DVD only thing. Basically, it's not like a show that they put on a network or something like that. You order the DVDs from them, and they send them to you. The early shows had sort of a storyline going on where they were preserving. These movies and these riffs for this time tube that they were putting in for posterity or whatever. But now they basically just, I think that got too expensive for them. So now they're just doing live shows. They tour around the country doing live shows and they tape those on, put them on DVD. And they're fucking awesome. The live shows are even better than the original format because, because it's live, sometimes they'll fuck up. Like in East Meets Watts, Joel fucks up a joke at one point.
Add some humanity to
it. And he puts it in later and he's like, that's where that joke was supposed to go. And it's a great moment. So. There's tons of great movies. They did a redo of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which was a classic MST3K episode.
Is that the one where he like eats the pills? Like this one's roast beef.
Yeah,
was The Matrix.
No, so there's good stuff in there. So check them out, Cinematic Titanic. You can find them on their website, which is cinematictitanic.com, or you can get their stuff on Amazon.com. So.
And all these links will be available on the show's recap on thebuzzmedia.com.
Oh, absolutely.
All the recommendations you can easily access.
Dan, stop smoking, man. You can put out that fucking cigarette.
Dude, he said, let him smoke. He's looking at RazyBladeSandwich.com.
I'd smoke
when I read that website. It makes me fucking smoke.
Obviously, we have a rule, because I've never smoked in Studio Z. You can't smoke in Studio Z. This man's breaking this rule. So again, I'll ask him kindly... To put out your fucking cigarette.
Would you do us a favor and end the show? Just tell us it's over.
Can you just put the cigarette out in his eye?
Just remember to keep your eye on your eyes.
Boom!
And see.
So that's about 50.